If you would turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 6, I will read verse 5 to verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 6. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This morning, I will be preaching the very first sermon on the series Faithful Believers in the Old Testament that we should emulate or follow or copy their examples today. And I will be preaching, the sermon will look particularly in the life of Noah. And the title of today's sermon is that faithful believers, or believers, do the right thing even if they are alone. Let us pray. Father, may you please use this sermon to give us the boldness that we need as we profess our faith in a community that really doesn't care about faith and God. Pass through the sermon to remind us and to challenge us that we as your children should be more concerned about doing your will regardless of how we look in the community than we should be about what people think about us. Help us to understand what you've called us to do and give us the grace, the tenacity, the resilience that we need to do it with an unflinching courage and determination for your name and for your glory. So may you speak to us, Lord, through the sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So like I have mentioned this morning, I will be looking at one faithful believer in the scriptures. And I'm going to be making the point that God expects us to be like the individual. I believe that we are getting into a phase where in our church where God expects us to be more faithful. Faithful men and women are needed in Glen Burnie Baptist Church, because God is about to take us to great places. God is about to do a new thing in Glen Burnie Baptist Church. But this will only be effectively achieved if we step up and be more faithful. And there is no better place to go to learn how to be faithful than from the Word of God. And therefore God has given me this series of sermons to challenge you, to exhort you, to encourage you to desire to be faithful. Because God needs faithful men and women to serve His church, who will not only serve this church, but from serving this church, they will be able to better serve the community. They will serve their families. And they will extend the love of God to others. So we will be looking at Noah. Noah as a faithful man of God. So in this sermon, I'm going to take you to my text this morning that talks about Noah and his generation. And then we're going to see how Noah was different from his generation. And what God did to Noah's generation and what God did to Noah. And what we can learn from that. But first, let me give you some background information about Noah so that we can understand him in perspective. What does the Bible say about Noah? What does history say about Noah? Well, the name Noah in Hebrew means rest. So Noah means rest in Hebrew. We also gather from the Bible that Noah is the 10th generation descendant from Adam. And that Noah's grandfather was Methuselah. We all know Methuselah was the oldest person recorded in the Bible. We also gathered that Noah had a wife. And Noah had 3 sons. The names of his sons were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But the Bible does not give us details as to who Noah's wife was or her name. But according to ancient Jewish literature, it is believed that Noah's wife was called Mzarah. The Bible also doesn't tell us the details about Noah's daughter-in-laws. But according to ancient biblical writings, it is believed that Noah's son Shem was married to a woman called Ariel. And Ham was married to Keziah. And Japheth was married to Renan. The Bible gives us more details as to who Noah was in terms of his character. The Bible portrays Noah as a man who had unwavering faith and he had a reverent fear for the Lord. And we can see that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 20, Noah again is mentioned as one of the 3 most righteous men along with Job and Daniel. Here is what Ezekiel 14, 20 says. He says, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they could save neither son nor daughter. They could save only themselves by their righteousness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible refers to Noah as a preacher of righteousness. It says, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald or a preacher of righteousness, with 7 others when he brought a flood upon the whole world. So when we put all of these biblical texts together and what we gathered from history, it gives us a pretty good picture as to who Noah was. Now, how was Noah different from his generation? Who were Noah's contemporaries? What was their lifestyle? And why was Noah different? And that's what we see in our text. So let's go into our text, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 to 8, to see how Noah was different from his generation. Now in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6, we see that Noah lived among a people whose hearts were filled with evil. Now here's what the verse says. It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And how did God feel about the sinful state of Noah's generation? We see that in verse 6 of our text. God was very displeased. Here's how the verse puts it. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and he grieved with him, and it grieved him to his heart. Now the phrase, the Lord regretted, does not suggest that God did not know, that God was unaware, or the sinful state of the man in Noah's generation took God by surprise and God regretted. No, it simply means that when this happened, when the reality of the sinful nature of the man in Noah's generation was obvious, God was very displeased. Let me give you a good example. Let's take a situation where a patient is diagnosed of a terminal disease, and the doctor estimates that this patient is only going to last but for a short while, and that there is no cure for that disease. And then eventually, as the doctor had predicted, time came and that individual passed on. And now the doctor goes to convey the news about that man's passing to the family. And then the doctor says, I regret to inform you that your loved one has passed. In this context, regret does not mean the doctor didn't know that he was going to pass, or that the doctor was expecting something else. Regret in context simply means the doctor is saying, even though I knew it was going to happen, now that it has happened, this is not good news for me. So I'm not pleased to tell you this. In the same way, when the Bible is saying, and God regretted, it is more like when he saw the reality of what he knew would happen. God knows all things. And that's why he is omniscient. There is nothing that God does not know. And when this reality happened, God was very displeased about it. And so, what did God do? How did God address the situation with Noah's generation? We see that in verse 7. God decided to act upon it. Here's what verse 7 says. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animal and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. So what did God do? Because of the sinful nature of the men and women in Noah's generation, God decided to make a decision. He said, I'm going to wipe all of them from the face of the earth. But in verse 8, God finds that Noah was different. Even though everyone in Noah's generation was evil, and evil was in their heart continually, Noah was not like that. Therefore, the Bible tells us in verse 8, the Lord found favor, or Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The implication of this, or what this really communicates to us, is that even though Noah lived among a people who did not only do evil, but gave hearty approval to those who did evil, Noah was not like that. Noah did not allow the evil nature of his community influence his personal principles. Just because he lived among a people who worshipped idols does not mean he would worship idols. Just because he lived among a people who did terrible things, fornication and adultery and homosexuality, does not mean he will approve it. His heart was not evil like the rest of them. This also tells us that Noah was not bothered that he was the only one who was living like that. It tells us that Noah was not as concerned about being politically correct as he was concerned about doing the right thing. He believed that obeying God and following his statutes as revealed in nature then, because there was no scripture, there was no canonized scripture then as we have it now, but God revealed himself to mankind through creation. And Noah was sensitive enough to recognize it. And it didn't bother Noah that he was just the only one doing this. In other words, Noah may have been in that world, but Noah was not of that world. There was a difference between how Noah lived, what he did, and what the rest of the people did. Therefore, God found favor in the eyes. Or Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. The question I want to ask us this morning is this. What do you do when you find yourself in a situation where you know the truth? God has revealed the truth to you. Your conscience tells you what is good to do. But you are surrounded by a group of friends and co-workers and neighbors who do the exact opposite. What do you do when you are in such a situation? For so many people, in order that they may be accepted by society, in order that they may feel belong to society or the community in which they are, even Christians sometimes tend to compromise on their principles. Christians tend to compromise on their values just so that they can become accepted in society. The question I'm asking you this morning is, have you compromised? Have you compromised your Christian values in your marriage just because that's what everyone does? Have you compromised your Christian principles in your family, in your place of work, in your life, in your community, because that's what everyone is doing? Have you compromised? Are you compromising your stand as a church just because that's what other churches do? Have you compromised your Christian values? Are you afraid of being the only one doing the right thing, that you prefer to join the world in doing the wrong thing? We live in a world where many churches, in order to feel accepted by the world, they have called sin as holiness. They have embraced practices that is forbidden by scripture. But Noah was a man who said, I will do what God says. Even if it means me being alone doing it, I will stand for holiness and I will stand for righteousness. God is looking for a contemporary church that will not bow down to the God of Mammon. God is looking for a church that will not bow down to gay laws or to accept homosexuality and sin and fornication and turn the other eye, but a church that will stand for the truth, even if it means standing alone. And God is calling Glen Burnie Baptist Church and everyone in Glen Burnie Baptist Church to stand for the truth. This morning I come as a messenger of Jehovah to say, faithful believers do the right thing. They do the right thing, even if it means that they are going to be alone. Even if it means that they may have to lose members or lose money or lose opportunities. Faithful believers do the right thing, even if it means that they will have to look weird in the eyes of others. I'd rather look weird in the eyes of others and look beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. I'd rather be disapproved by the world and be approved by heaven. And so the message for every faithful servant of God here in Glen Burnie Baptist Church is that let the scriptures tell you what the right thing is. Believe the right thing. Stand for the right thing and do the right thing. Do the right thing here in this church. Do the right thing in your homes, in your marriages, in your families. Do the right thing at your place of work. Do the right thing in your community. Don't be afraid. Don't apologize for being a Christian. Be proud of being who you are. It is your heritage from the Lord. You are saved by grace and you should be proud of being a Christian. Be who God has called you to be. Because I tell you, this world is calling you in different ways. This world is calling you through materialism. This world is calling you through social media. This world is calling you through television. This world is calling you to be like the world, to act like the world, to function like the world. But in the same way that the world is calling you to be like the world, God is also calling you to be like Christ. God is calling you through the word of God, through the preaching of scripture, to be like Christ. And so you have a choice. Will you hear the call of the world and be like the world? Like many in Noah's generation did. Or you will hear the voice of God through scripture and be like Christ into this world. Now, I don't know where you are going to stand. I don't know what voice you are going to call. But I know that the true sheep of God, when they hear his voice, they will follow. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And they follow. I don't know what voice you are following, but I trust that you will hear the voice of God and be willing to stand for your beliefs. Don't let ungodly bureaucrats in our community, politicians, tell you how to run your homes in a way that destroys the principle that God has built. Follow the word of God. Because where two powers meet, the lesser power will bow. Now, I don't agree with everything that the president says, but our president says some very good things that every reasonable preacher would endorse. One of his statements, he said, the church and the community are better placed, or the church and the family are better placed to build the society, to build communities, than ungodly bureaucrats. have the solution of this world's problems because we believe in the truth. So will you allow the lies of the world cause you to compromise on the truth that you have? Or you will stand on the truth and insist on the truth and not waver in your faith in doing what God has called you to do. Beloved, be bold. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but God has given us boldness. God is looking for men and women in America who will stand for God and be for God and not be ashamed of the gospel. In Romans chapter 1 verse 16, the apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. Oh, we need Christians who will go in their offices and not be ashamed of the gospel. Who will go to the shopping malls and not be ashamed of the gospel. Who will go in the communities and not be ashamed of the gospel. Even if it means you are alone standing for the truth. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid. I'd rather stand with God, even if it means standing alone, than to stand with the world. Because one with God is majority. So I encourage you today. Choose God and stand with Him. The old hymn writer, R.F. Miller, advised us well in his hymn. And I encourage you to heed to his advice. He said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands. He said, I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. He said, I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of this vast domain and be held in sin's dreaded sway. Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world can afford me today. What would you rather have, beloved? Would you rather have the world and lose your soul? Would you rather have the applause and the endorsement of the community and the world of sin and lose your soul? Or you'd rather have Jesus? Or you'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands? A leadership that comes from the cross, that is born and shaped by God's plan and God's purpose. What would you rather have? Joshua was very clear on his stand, and he's one of the men we are going to see in the Bible. He told them, he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Even if I'm the only one who is going to serve God in this nation of Israel, I don't care. I will serve the Lord. Whatever the Lord says, we should do is what we're going to do. Oh, my prayer this morning is that God will give us that willingness to choose Christ in Glenburnie Baptist Church. And let the will of Christ be our will moving forward. That God will give us the willingness to choose Christ as we serve in different capacities. That God will give us the willingness to choose Christ and do the right thing in our marriages, in our families, in our communities. Let us do the right thing. as we reflect on this sermon, I'd like for you to bow down your head and really meditate on the song written by R.F. Miller. What am I chosen? What have I chosen? Am I chosen Jesus? Have I chosen Jesus? And Brother John is going to lead us in playing this hymn. I'd rather have Jesus than anything else.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than this world affords today.
Please stand and sing that chorus with me.
Than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather than anything this world affords today.
Let us pray. Help us, O Lord. Help us to be true to the faith that we profess. Give us the boldness that we need to be like Noah in America today. In America today, there are many who have no regard for Your word or to obey Your word. In America today, sin is celebrated as righteousness in many factions. In America today, those who are faithful and who are true to the faith are often mocked at or considered weird In America today, there is a declining rate of church attendance, commitment to a church body. Lord, we live in such challenging times. Like Noah, we are confronted by a generation and by a people who have no regard for you. And regrettably, many, many are leaving the church by the day and are joining the world. Hence, churches that used to be filled with hundreds and hundreds of people are now empty. But bars and other places where ungodliness is celebrated are highly populated, but not your church anymore in America today. Father, I pray for each and every one of us who is here now, that you will hold us fast. You will keep us in your name, that we will not be influenced by the world. I pray for our families. There are some of us here who have remained faithful through the years, regardless of the challenges in our community, but not so much about our children. We have children who have heeded the call of the world and they are lost in the world. I pray for every parent here who has been praying for that son, who have been praying for that daughter, whom they know is living like the men in Noah's generation. I pray for them, Lord, that just as you gave Noah the grace to stand faithful, that you will call these sons and daughters of our members out of the world back into this church. Some of them grew in this very church. Some of them attended Sunday school. They had their first Bible here. They understood the Bible here, but the world called them away. Oh God, I pray, in this age of revival, in this season of transformation, that you would do a great things in the families of our members, so that their lost, long lost sons and daughters will hear the call of God and return home. Oh, give us that grace to be like Noah today. Help us not be turned off by the fact that we are the few ones standing in a community that has all fallen into sin. So give us the grace to stand firm. For it is in you that we live and move and have our being. Keep us in your name, O God, as we deal with the reality of our time. For your name is like a strong tower that the righteous run into it and they are saved. And may the faithfulness of these few be a clarion call to many potential members of Glen Burnie Baptist Church, that by our visible sign of faithfulness to the truth, many will join this fellowship so that they too can join us to worship you as Lord. Thank you, Father, for the sermon, and thank you for its impact in the life of your people. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the mighty throne of God, even Jesus, the Son of the living God, hold you fast and keep you in his name as you go, so that you will not be snatched off from his hands by the wolves in our community today. May God be with you as you go. In Jesus' name, amen.